Scene 10, Herman Brown, 2:05 p.m. The police arrived in about 10 minutes, which gave me time to think. I had made a mistake. I had shot off my mouth with nothing to back up my statements but trivia. I should have pointed to the powder before I said anything about it. Marsogliani was right. If I yelled murder and couldn't prove it, they'd turn on me and rip me apart. I did have the key. I was first man on the scene. There might even be people who would be willing to suggest I was jealous of Giles, that I was the tooth-gnashing teacher who hated the smart-ass pupil who had outdistanced him. It didn't seem likely on the face of it that a man my size would lug a 200-pound-plus dead weight into the bathroom and tip him into the tub, but it was no secret that I was stronger than I looked. So, by the time the police came, I was a different guy. If Marsogliani and Strong volunteered nothing, neither would I. Not until I had learned something of value. Would I? Would I ever? I didn't ask myself that question at the time. The police came by way of the basement and the service elevator, I guess, avoiding and bypassing the convention. There were two of them. The young man in uniform had longish hair and a mustache, items almost required for the new generation of police. The older man, round-faced and snub-nosed, was in plain clothes. They identified themselves. The policeman was Joseph Olson, and the plainsclothesman was Lieutenant Herman Brown. The lieutenant looked bored. I suppose dead bodies were an old story to him. He walked about the room silently, looked in the closet, knelt to look under the beds, walked into the bathroom, then came out just as though it had been empty. He asked Marsogliani and Strong how they came to be there, and they laid it upon me very nicely, told their stories briefly, and left. Strong gave me a furtive glance out of the corner of his eye, as though wondering what I was going to say and hoping I would make no trouble. Marsogliani left with no sign of concern at all. No skin off his nose. If Strong had stayed behind, he would have heard me deliver the minimum and make no trouble at all. Brown took my name, address, occupation, and said, "When did you find the body?" 1:33. I looked at my watch a minute or so after. "How did you get in?" "I had a key. Giles DeVore, the dead man, gave it to me last night so that I could deliver a package. I delivered it a little over half an hour ago. There it is on the bureau, and there's the key." "What's in the package?" "I don't know." "Why did he ask you to deliver it, not someone else?" "We were good friends," I said. He didn't give me the "oh, are you a queer" look, just scribbled in his notebook. He said, "Did you touch anything, move anything when you came in?" "Yes," I said. "I didn't know he was dead in the bathroom. I came in, wondered where he was, picked up that pen on the bureau, sat in the chair like that. Then I looked in the bathroom and found him." "Why did you look in the bathroom?" "I wanted to piss." "Did you?" "Not yet. Go ahead." That was nice of him. I felt a little less tense when I came out. He said, "Did you draw that question mark on the pad there, or was it on the pad when you came in?"
"I drew it."
"What for?" "I was wondering where Giles was. I had expected him to be up here, but he wasn't. It put a question mark in my mind, I suppose." "I was wondering where Giles was. I had expected him to be up here, but he wasn't. It put a question mark in my mind, I suppose." He didn't delve very deeply. I suppose with a clear case of accidental death, who needs more? He said, "Do you know if the dead man had a family?" "He has a wife, Eunice. Know her address?" I gave it to him, and he said, "All right." "Are you planning any out-of-town trips?" "No." "Okay. Hang around, just in case there are more questions. I doubt that there will be, but hang around. You can go." "What's going to happen to my friend?" I pointed to the bathroom. Brown said, "We'll call the medical examiner, who will send the body to the morgue for an autopsy. After that, it will be released to his widow." I said, "What do I do if people ask?" For a minute, I thought he was going to smile, but he wasn't in a smiling business. "You mean, is all this a state secret?" "No. Talk all you want." "Is the dead man part of the convention that's going on here?" "Yes, the American Booksellers Association." "He's a writer, and you're a writer. What are you doing at a bookseller's convention?" "Writers attend to push their books, you know. Giles was just autographing books this morning." The lieutenant pulled out his little book again. "When this morning?" "From 10 to 11. "Were you there?" "No, but there must have been 1,000 witnesses." Brown put away his book and shrugged. "Well, he won't be doing anything else at this convention. You better tell the convention people that he's dead. Is he well known? At this convention, he certainly is. Too bad. But what can you do? Get someone to make some announcement. He held the door open for me. So long. We'll be in touch if anything comes up. I left.